Padare. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giri Varadhari, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Jayo Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Unatira Vanachari Ira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Munatira Vanachari Munatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सात शिष्य मात अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिव प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय नमाचार्य शिव हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सकहु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निधानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिर गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय सिंधवद्वीप धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री गोवर्धन कॉलेज की जय श्री जीबीसी कॉलेज फॉर स्पिरिचुअल लीडरशिप की जय गौरव प्रेमानंद समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय All glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gaurang, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narutamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashta Prayeshva Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayana virahakatara juhava putreti tan mayatayo taravo binedus tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 16, Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters, Text number 18. Dehinam Atmavat Preshta Suhridam Nandi Vardanaha Muktasanga Prasangah Ayam Danda Panihi Asadushu Dehinam Atmavat Preshta Dehinam Atmavat Preshta Suhridam Nandivardana Suhridam Nandivardana Muktasanga Prasangoyam Muktasanga Prasangoyam Dandapani Rasadushu Dandapani Rasadushu Dehinam Atmavat Preshta
सुहृदं नन्दिवर्धना मुक्तसङ्गप्रसङ्गोऽयम् दन्दपानिरसदुषु देहिनामात्मवत्प्रेष्टा सुहृदं नन्दिवर्धनम् मुक्तसङ्गप्रसङ्गोऽयम् दन्दपानिरसदुषु.
Next, please.
Inamatmavat Preshta
माताजी.
देहिनम् टु ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज having a body, Atmavat as himself, Preshta considering dear, Suhridam of his friends, Nandivardhanaha increasing pleasures, Muktasanga with persons devoid of all material contamination. Prasangaha, intimately associated. I am this king. Dandapanihi, a chastising hand. Asadushu, to the criminals. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada ki. The king will consider all embodied living entities as dear as his own self. And he will always be increasing the pleasures of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons. And he will be chastising, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. Purport. The word Dehinam refers to those who are embodied. The living entities are embodied in different forms, which number 8,400,000 species. All of these were treated by the king in the same way as he would treat himself. In this age, however, so-called kings and presidents do not treat all other living entities as their own self. Most of them are meat eaters, and even though they may not be meat eaters and may pose themselves to be very religious and pious, they still allow cow slaughter within their state. Such sinful heads of state cannot actually be popular at any time. Another significant word in this verse is Mukta Sangha Prasangaha, which indicates that the king was always associating with liberated persons. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Дехинам атмават приштах сухридам нандивардана мукта сангах прасанго аям дандапани расаду шуда. King will consider all embodied living entities as dear to his own self, as his own self. And he will always be increasing the pleasure of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. Ома гьяна тимирандасья, гьянам джана шалакая, чакшурун милитам яна, тасмай шри гураве намаха. Шри Чайтанья Манобиштам Стапитам Йейна Бутале Своям Рупа Кадамахьям Дадати Сва Падантикам Вандехам Шри Гуру Шри Юта Пада Камалам Шри Гурун Вайшнавамща Шри Рупам Саграджатам Сахагана Рагунатам Витам Там Садживам Садвайтам Савадутам Париджана Сахитам Кришна Чайтанья Девам Шри Радха Кришна Падам Сахагана Лалита Шри Вишакха Витамща Э Кришна Каруна Синду Дина Банду Джагат Пате Гопиша Гопика Канта Рада Канта Намостуте Тапта Канчана Гауранге Радхе Бриндаванешвари Вришабану Суте Деви Пранамами Хари Прие Ванча Калпа Тарубеща Крипа Синду Бьевача Патитанам Паване Бьо Вайшнаве Бьо Намо Намахам Шри Кришна Чайтанья Прабу Нитянанда Шри Адвайта Гададхара Шри Васади Гоура Бхакта Вринда Харе Кришна, Харе Кришна Кришна, Кришна, Харе 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 Рама, Харе Рама Рама, Рама, Харе Харе Аджану Ламбит Вуджаука Накавадату Санкиртанай Капитарока Малая Такша Вишвамбаро Двиджаваро Югадарма Пало Ванде Джагат Приякаро Коронаватаро Йонтах Правище Мама Вачим Имам Прасуптам Санджи Ваята Кила Шакти Дарах Свадамна Аньям Счахаста Чарана Шравана Твагадим Прананнамо Бхагавате Пурушая Тубьям. Харе Кришна. So today we have our last day of studies, and Kauntey Prabhu asked me to give the class. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha, as far as I remember, that one of the main topics of the fourth canto is offense. We can see how this topic is there in all the stories of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of the fourth canto we have Shiva and Sati's story, and this offense is a very prominent feature of this story when Shiva punished Daksha for his offense, and the consequences of this offense were very severe because Daksha became proud, being a leader. Then we have Dhruva story, and in Dhruva story we see that despite the fact that Dhruva has achieved a very high state of spiritual consciousness, he was carried away while fighting with Yakshas. And Kuvera himself has to come down, and Manu Maharaj has to come down and somehow or other, you know, tell him, please stop it. You're doing offense. You're doing something wrong. And then we see, of course, Maharaja Vena's story, where he was elevated to a very exalted position of a leader or a king. And as a result, he committed offenses and fell down. And then we see King Prachina Barhishad's story, and King Prachina Barhishad's story, Narada Muni himself has to come to stop King Prachina Barhishad from misusing his position as a king and to stop the animal slaughter which he was doing. And in the end, even 10 Prachetas, they committed some apparat while trying to destroy all the trees which are there. So we can see that this is one of the topics which is very prominent in the fourth canto, and not without a reason. The reason being that the whole fourth canto is basically about how to perform karma in this material world. Because while living in this material world, and while living in this material world, we have to perform some activities. But we have to do it. There is no doubt about it. We cannot renounce completely. Srila Prabhupada was always laughing at those people who are trying to, you know, renounce everything. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that without even a moment you cannot, you know, you cannot remain idle or without any activities. We always perform some sort of activities. At least we breathe. Or we, you know, we do so many things. So, karma we have to do, there is no doubt about it. And especially the special karma which is being described here, karma of a leader. We have to do this because somebody has to be a leader. There is no doubt about it. But there is a great danger in this position. And the danger is committing offenses or parats. So, the you know, the position of a leader definitely gives you facilities to perform very important service for the Supreme Lord, but it also gives you a great opportunity to commit a lot of apparatus. And so many people take advantage of this opportunity, unfortunately. You know, and very happily commit some offenses to other living entities. So, and this fourth canto is to warn us and to give us severe warning what will happen. You know, we can see that in case of Dhruva Maharaj, again, despite of him being a pure devotee, he was carried away. We have to be very clear that until we have this material body, the urges or impulses of this body, such as kama and krodha, will always be there. Will always be there. Once Prabhupada, he was glorified after a big pandal program, and so many rich people would come and touch his feet, and Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, why do you think they touch my feet? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, oh, because you're a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, no. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave few other reasons why they have so much respect and adoration towards Srila Prabhupada. And finally, Prabhupada rejected all his answers. And Prabhupada said himself, they touch my feet and they worship me because I am free from lust. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, he was very happy to hear this answer. And then few minutes passed and they sat in the car. And Prabhupada, He continued the same topic and he looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, "It's not that I don't have lust. I have no time." that was his answer, you know. So what we have to be very clear that until we have this material body, the lust will be there. And because the lust will be there, and there will be anger, and because the anger will be there, and you know, so many other qualities will also be there, and there will be some chances for us to commit offenses against other living entities. Which is very dangerous for our spiritual life, which can be completely, totally destructive for our spiritual life. And we all know that when somebody praises us, that the cause for offenses is pride. The single most important cause for offenses against other living entities is our pride. When I think that I'm more elevated than other living entities. Srila Prabhupada, he makes this point in the purport that the modern kings are doomed because they think that they have a right or they allow their subordinates to kill other living entities. He comments on this word, Dehinam Atmavat Preshta, that the king, the real king, as exemplified by Maharaja Prithu, he treats all other living entities as his own self. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada was remembering or was reminding us the verse from Chanakya Pandit, which clearly says who is Pandit. The Pandit is someone who sees all women as mothers, the property of others as stones or as pebbles, and who sees all living entities as himself. Atmavat sarva bhuteshu yah pasyati sa panditah. The one who sees this, he's pandit, he's educated person. Prabhupada very often was quoting this verse. So he again takes the same kind of topic here, taking advantage of this praise. So first of all, my question would be, if the pride is the single most cause for offenses, why do we have this whole chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, which basically supposedly will instigate the pride in Maharaja Prithu? Because we all know, if somebody praises you, what happens to your false ego? Your false ego becomes even more false. You already have false ego, but it becomes really false. You know, yeah, the praise is a very, you know, it's a very dangerous thing. And we have here this whole chapter which glorifies King Prithu. Moreover, he himself says, "Don't glorify me. I didn't do anything. Please, don't even try to do it. If you want to glorify, here is Lord Vishnu, glorify him. Why do you want to glorify me? I'm just born from this body of this sinful king. God knows what I will do." But then the reciters, the professional reciters, they started praising him, saying that we are instigated by the sages who are here. The sages say to us that you have to praise him. You know, we feel this inspiration and we will praise you. So there is a very interesting principle behind it, which is there in the Vedic literature. It is said, Devah stutya hi vardana, vardate. Devah stutya hi vardate. If somebody has a divine nature, then his praise increases his Shakti. It's a very important place of praise in our philosophy or in our culture, so to speak. The praise is not necessarily bad. This principle, which is formulated in this Sanskrit maxim, says that if you have divine nature, if you are deva by nature, if your character is pure, then if somebody praises you, the role of the praise is to remind you what you're supposed to be doing. And instead of being proud, you will feel that, yes, somebody is praising me, so I shouldn't, I should make this praise, I shouldn't waste this praise. And it is said specifically here, Devak Stutya Hivardate, that the energy for doing something is being increased. So this is the specific role of a praise in our culture. Here, the professional reciters, they basically give the whole mission to Maharaja Prithu. They will say, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what is expected from you. This is, because you are a leader, this is what is expected from you. Whether you have done it or not, you're supposed to do this. And they put it in a form of a praise that this is how you are. But basically the reason why they are doing this is that, you know, you should be behaving in such a way. This is what are the qualities, what are the main qualities of a leader, of a king, which you should do, whether you want it or not. So this is the role of a praise in our culture, and we can see that basically this culture serves us as a reminder what we're supposed to do. People with asuric nature, with the nature when modes of passion and ignorance are prominent, they will definitely take the praise in a different way. They will take it for granted, and they will their, you know, false ego will only increase. We know in case of Maharaja Venu, he was pushing everyone to praise him. He was very offended when somebody was praising somebody else, you know. You should praise me, I am the king. I am the proper object of praise. But people with divine nature, they are not happy when somebody is praising them, but they take it as a reminder what of their duties, what they're supposed to do. And Srila Prabhupada, similarly, he was sometimes being glorified. And there is a beautiful story when it was somewhere around 75, or when Prabhupada was already established his, you know, ISKCON, and was already, you know, a lot of things were there to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So people were glorifying Prabhupada. I don't exactly know. Perhaps it was an occasion of his Vyasa Puja or whatever the reason was. No, it was not. But still, people were glorifying Srila Prabhupada very highly for his achievements, that he single-handedly could establish this, you know, could do practically impossible thing to establish this culture of Krishna consciousness all over the world. So in Prabhupada answering this praise, he made a very significant statement. His statement was, you know, people glorify me, people say so many things, but he said, very important thing, he said, if there is any reason
to glorify me. If you want to glorify me, if there is any reason to glorify me, this reason is only one. Because I never wanted to encroach the position of Krishna. I never wanted to be in the center. I never wanted... If you want to glorify me, this is the reason to glorify me. I never wanted to be imitation God. I never wanted to play the role of God. I always wanted to be the servant of God. And so again, Srila Prabhupada in this instance, he reminds us what should be our position. We should always be very firmly established as a servant of the Lord and always remind ourselves who we are. Because as soon as we change this course of actions and try to imitate God in any way, shape or form, our position will become very, very dangerous. You know, the position of a leader, again, is a very important position in this world as a representative of God. But as soon as we think we are representative of God, and therefore, you know, we should be glorified by all other people, you know, the story of King Vena is there to remind us what is going to happen with us. As soon as we have this false conception that being a leader means to be in the center, to be legitimate, to take the praise and everything else, or to take the, you know, Mahaprasadam plate, you know, we may think it's innocent. It's not. Because, you know, we have this false ego which is there in our nature, and the false ego is a very peculiar thing because, you know, we know that liver can regenerate itself, right? If you cut, you know, 90% of a liver, the 10% of a liver can grow again into the full liver. So, false ego, even if you cut 99% of a false ego, even if you cut 99.999 in period false ego and leave just 1 billionth part of a false ego, it will, in a moment, will grow in 100%. No problem. You know, false ego is a very dangerous thing. You know, it very quickly will grow up into full-blown, you know, totally blown up false ego. So, being leaders, we have to be constantly reminding ourselves that, you know, I'm a servant, I'm a servant, I'm a servant of a servant, I'm a servant and nobody else. You know, there is this beautiful story, one of my favorites of Prabhupada's story. There was one devotee. He was a new devotee, new bhakta. He came to a temple, and he himself tells the story, but I just in case, I will not give his name. But he himself tells the story that he had very strong controlling tendencies. He liked to boss around and to control other people and to tell people what to do. So very quickly he was promoted as a temple commander to dovetail his propensities, you know, to somehow or other. And he was very happy and he felt that, you know, he's advancing spiritually, he's a temple commander and, you know. So, and Prabhupada, he definitely noticed his tendency in him. So, the day has come when he was supposed to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, there was the ceremony of initiation. And usually we know how the ceremony goes on. You know, somebody pays obeisances and then Prabhupada or spiritual master asks what are the four regulative principles which you will do, how many rounds you will chant, and then he will give the beads and say, you know, this is your new name. But in this case, it was significantly different. So what happened, his turn came and he came to Srila Prabhupada. And he bowed down, he paid his dandavata obeisances on the floor. And while he's laying there on the floor, Srila Prabhupada, without asking four regulative principles, without, you know, without all these ceremonies, Srila Prabhupada all of a sudden starts saying, while he's there on the floor, Srila Prabhupada starts saying, your name is such and such Das. And then he says, Das, Das, you understand, Das. Not the Lord, Das. You're Das. You're 1,000 times Das. And he himself, you know, Prabhupada took this opportunity that, you know, he's in this Dandavat, so it's probably the best position to remind him that he's Das, you know, because when he's up, it's already too late. His ahankar is already there. So he's laying there, and Prabhupada says, you're Das, Das, you understand, you're Das, 1,000 times Das, you know. And he himself says that at this moment, I had only one thought in my mind, what am I supposed to do now? You know, how I will leave. So Prabhupada was very apt, and his point is there very clear that we are Das, and we have to be also very clear that the tendency will be there to forget about this. In this series of verses, while the reciters are praising King Prithu, they basically say what we are supposed to do. To be reminded again and again and again that we are servants, not masters, not the lords, but the servants of Krishna. And here, in this particular verse, they say about King Prithu that Dehinam Atmavat Prishtah Suhridam Nandivardanah Mukta Sangha Prasangoyam Dandapani Rasadushu. It's a very interesting program for us. First of all, they say that Dehinam Atmavat Prishtah, that you have to treat every living entity as if they're you. You know, one of the main manifestations of false ego is that we are more dear to ourselves than anyone else. False ego means I am separated from everyone else. My interest is more important for me than anything else. And therefore, this is the, this is the perhaps most important practice of a leader. You know, King Prithu, naturally, he had all these qualities, but for us, this is sadhana. And sadhana basically means that, in this particular case, in the example of this verse, is that we have to practice conscientiously that the interests and the feelings of our subordinates should be as important for us as our own feelings. We know how our feelings are important for us. If somebody hurts us, if somebody gives us, you know, something, inflicts some pain to us, it's not nice. So we have to be very conscientious and treat every other living entity as if it's us, without inflicting any pain or any problem to other living entities. And that's a very important practice for any leader, that everyone is a part of me.
instead of increasing our false ego by thinking how important I am, we have to include into the notion of our ego all other living entities. They are mine. They are part of me. Their feelings are not less important for me than the feelings of my own feelings. And their pain is my pain. Their happiness is my happiness. And this is, again, this is the practice of a leader. And Srila Prabhupada, he says about the cow slaughter, like this, we know this is a hot issue now in India, because in India, this new government, the government of Narendra Modi, is trying to ban cow slaughter. The previous government, the Congress government, the Prime Minister proudly said that now India is the number two exporter of meat in the world, but we will become the number one. this was the program of the other government. the government, the present government, is trying to rectify this mistake and to do the, you know, to ban the cow slaughter. But there is a vehement resistance to this. People say, you're encroaching my rights, I want to eat cows. Who do you think you are to stop it? But we all know, Prabhupada said that the single most important reason of all the wars is that people kill cows, because they kill other living entities. And the kings are allowing this, and they're inflicting the sinful reactions of this cow killing or cow slaughter in a very severe way. So this is a extremely important quality of a leader, to treat other living entities as our own self. And then Sukhridam Nandivardana, those who are close to you, you have always pleased, your duty is to please them in a special way. It's also very important that if somebody is close to you and doing service, or if somebody close to you is your friend, basically friend means you're doing something together. That's what friend means. Friend means you are doing the service together, and your duty as a leader is always pleasing them in a very special way, always increasing their happiness, Nandi Vardana. You have to really, you know, consciously think what you should do to please them, make them happy. This is another, you know, practice for us. And Mukta Sangha Prasangayam, as far as those who are free from material attachments, those who are free from bondage of this material world, then prasango I am. With these people, you have to have intimate relationship, prasanga. It's very interesting, because prasanga, prakrishta rupena, pra, the prefix pra means it's not just sangha. Because sangha may be very superficial, kind of you're together in one place, but prasanga, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, commenting on the verse Satam Prasanga Mama Virya Samvido Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Katha, this famous verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says what prasanga means. Prasanga means intense sangha, and intense sangha means that you're sharing with yourself, with people, you're listening how these people are telling you, speaking about Krishna. This is the definition of prasanga. Prasanga means you're listening or you're hearing how they explain, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is prasanga. And this is again sadhana for us. If we see somebody who is free from material attachments, then we have to take opportunity and humbly beg them to tell us something about Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, danda panir asadhu shu, if somebody manifests very demonic qualities, if somebody is a criminal, we should not be hesitant to punish him in a very severe way. We should not, on the pretext of false sentiments, say, you know, how he should be spared because he is also a human being. No, he should be punished. And if you behave in such a way, then you know, this is the program, this is the sadhana for the leader. Naturally, you become very dear to Krishna, and you will become very dear to all your subordinates. We can see in the example of Ramayana, well, when Lord Ram was banished to the forest, all the citizens of Ayodhya wanted to go with him to the forest. Ayodhya would become empty. When Maharaja Yudhishthira was supposed to be spending in exile 12 years in the forest, all his citizens wanted to go with him. Ultimately, he said, no, don't go, how I will take care of you. So, but thousands of brahmanas went with him. That's why he was, you know, he had this akshaya patra, because he has to, you know, feed everyone. So, that's the point. If you are, how you recognize that you are doing your duty as a leader properly, what is the recognition is that, you know, your subordinates will love you. And this is your reward. If you're doing your dharma properly, then your subordinates will love you, and Krishna will definitely love you, because you will be so dear to other people. So this is a very important role in a society, to be a leader. And it's a very glorious opportunity to make spiritual advancement, but it's also a very dangerous position. We have to be extremely careful and always remind ourselves that we have to, you know, be very conscientious by doing this service, that this is a service. This is not an extra opportunity for me to get extra sense gratification. This is not the position where I can fulfill my ambitious desires. This is just a position of increased intensity of service. And if we forget about this, our situation will be very dangerous. Therefore, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Bharata, he emphatically says, Gurur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat. You should not become a guru. You should not become a leader. You should not become a temple president. You should not become a demigod. You should not become mother or father. Any position of leadership. And it's not that it's only big shots like GBCs, they have some position of leadership. Any one of us has some position of leadership. And King Bharata says, you should not become, you should not take any position of leadership if you are not conscious what is your duty. And your duty is just to help others to become Krishna conscious. And if you become, if you're helping them, that's a glorious chance and glorious golden opportunity for you to also progress. But if you cannot do this, if if you are not really helping other living entities to progress spiritually and to become free from their sinful propensities and their, you know, bad qualities, then you should not become a leader. If you're in a position of a leadership, behave yourself improperly, then the result will be the attachments of your subordinates will only grow because they will see how you behave improperly. They will see your attachments very clearly, and they will see, and they will imitate you, they will follow your example. But if you are giving the ideal example, being very conscientious and trying again and again and again to serve everyone, then it's a very glorious position. And Prabhupada, he came to us to remind us that this is what leader is supposed to be doing. You know, there is this famous story, and I will finish reminding you about this story. You probably know this, that when Prabhupada was departing and so many devotees flocked together in the airport, and Prabhupada was in the lounge, and you know, practically no other passengers on this flight couldn't come in because all the places were occupied by the hundreds of devotees. And you know, the staff of this air company was very disturbed that, you know, so many devotees, and they are, you know, making, and no other passengers cannot enter this into this lounge. So they asked, can you please take away, drive away all these people so that the passengers can occupy their seats in the lounge waiting for the flight. And Rupanuga Prabhu, the GBC at that time, he stood up and he said in the microphone, all the devotees, please get out. Please vacate this lounge. And everyone, they were just, you know, cursing Rupanuga. They were just looking at him as if he's Mahaparadi. How can you tell us to leave Prabhupada's association? And the only one who stood up and started walking out was Prabhupada. And when Rupanuga said, Prabhupada, why are you walking out? You know, you're the only one who is supposed to remain. Everyone else should walk. He said, because you said all the devotees have to leave the lounge, and I consider myself a devotee, therefore I'm leaving. Nobody else did it. Only Prabhupada was doing it to again show us the example that what we're supposed to do as leaders, not take advantage of our position, but to serve everyone with increased capacity or increased intensity within our heart. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Madhya Mahamdhara.